Thankful we got a good place to go to on a Wednesday night. Work hard all week. Pays to come to church on Wednesday night. I'm glad we have a hole we can come to and get watered on. I'm glad God has set a place aside in Bowden, Georgia, we can come to and hear His Word each time we're here. Thank God He meets with us. If you have your Bible tonight, be finding the book of Luke, chapter number 4. The book of Luke, chapter number 4. I want to read a few verses there. Very familiar scriptures tonight. Found in the book of Luke. We'll begin reading in chapter number 4 and verse number 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Sounds like you're all there, so we'll get started. Luke chapter 4, verse number 1 said, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it should be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And I agree with my pastor right there. It don't take you long for the devil to show you what he's got. I want us to go ahead and add this on to it. Don't make a mistake in a moment of time that cost you a lifetime of trouble. See, I've seen many times just a moment of the devil tricking somebody, it cost them a lifetime of hurt and pain. I'm not saying they couldn't be restored. But I'm going to tell you, they have scars on them. And I bear scars on me because of a moment in time. Be careful with that moment in time. The devil would love to show you all that he has in a moment of time. Don't fall into that. Verse number 5, verse number 6. It said, The devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thou behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought unto him Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. I'm interested in verse number 2 tonight to take my text from. It says, Luke chapter 4, verse number 2 says, Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and here it is, and in those days. Now, I'm preaching to a bunch of like-minded people, I hope, tonight. Hopefully there's a lot of honest folks here in the building. I'm looking around to see which side has the greatest honesty in here tonight. But I think we all stand about even. Amen. Let me tell you what, if you ever had, some of you can bear witness to this, and you can give me a good amen, if you ever had a day where nothing went right? I'm talking about when you got up in the morning and the alarm clock didn't go off. I'm talking about you was late for work and you got in the car, you spilled coffee on yourself. Or maybe you had a flat tire. Maybe things didn't go the way that you thought they was going to go. It may be that your wife got mad at you. It may be your husband got mad at you. And it was just one of those days. You see, I found in the book of Luke, in studying it out, Luke was a great, you know, y'all know Luke was a physician. And he would pin this down here in Luke chapter 4, verse number 2. And he'd say, and in those days. Many times throughout the book of Luke, you'll see this word, those days. I started looking at it and I said, first of all, it was a days of faith. He started out in Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 24. And he said, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. Talking about John the Baptist, talking about Zacharias, talking about the foretelling and the one who John the Baptist coming out of the wilderness preaching. And then he followed on up. And it's in Luke 1 and 39, it said, Mary arose, and guess what? in those days. We all know Mary was the mother of Jesus. It was days of faith. You see, it was days that there'll be some days you'll have a bunch of faith, but there'll also be days where you don't. There'll be nothing that goes right. And that's where Jesus found himself. Jesus was the Son of God. He was perfect. The Bible said he was holy. He was harmless. He was undefiled. He was separate from sinners. Let me tell you what, he was the only begotten of the Father. You'll find in Luke chapter number 3 where Jesus was baptized by John and coming out of the Jordan River, the Holy Ghost descended upon him like a dove. He was the only begotten of the Father. And he was full of grace and truth. But even him himself had to go through those days. So don't think it's strange tonight if you find yourself in those days. Not only it was days of faith, it was days of fasting. We see, we find here in Luke chapter 4, verse number 2, see, being 40 days tempted of the devil, in those days he did eat nothing. Not only that, you'll find it days of fellowship. There'll be times when you have great fellowship with the Lord in those days. I find in Luke, Numbers chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "And it came to pass in those days, he went into a mountain part to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." Talking about Jesus, there was great days of fellowship. But let me tell you where he finds himself in Luke 4 and 2. In those days, he's fixing to have a bad day. Let me tell you what, anybody in there ever had a bad day? I'm talking about what I was talking about at first. I mean, everything you thought that was going to go wrong, went wrong. I found myself a lot of times in those days. And my wife got mad, and she got mad, and then I got mad, and the whole family got mad in those days. Can I get a witness there? In those days. I want to say, first of all, it was those days where the enemy would attack. You see, the enemy is always around. And you know what he's looking to do? He's coming to attack. You see, if he'll attack the Son of God, he'll attack you. Don't think yourself exempt because you got saved. You see, on April 8, 1998, I got saved. But let me tell you what, ever since then, I've been under attack. And you know who's that attack coming from? It ain't so much my brethren. It ain't my wife. It ain't my kids. But it ain't my job. A lot of times I think it's my job. I've even thought it was my boss. But let me tell you what it's from. It was attack from the enemy, and that enemy is Satan himself. And let me tell you what, he's carried it. The Bible said that the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. And let me tell you what he's trying to do. He's trying to put destruction in the lives of homes of families tonight. In those days. You see, in these days, it was those days that the enemy would attack. You say, where would he attack? First of all, you'll see the place of the attack. Look what it said in verse number 1. It said, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, it said he was led somewhere. Where was he led? The place of his attack was in the wilderness. You see, that was a place where the devil could get him all alone. Let me tell you what the worst place you can be in tonight is a place where you're all alone. And you know why? Luke himself would pen these down. He said, in those days, the enemy would attack. The place of the attack was in the wilderness. And I want to say this and add it on. It was a place of wilderness. And just because you're saved tonight, don't think it's strange you find yourself in a wilderness. Let me say, we don't fit in down here. Every day you go to the mall, you go to Walmart, let me tell you what it's going to look like. It may look like a wilderness. You may go to your job in the morning, and you may be the only one there, and it may be wilderness all around, and that's all you can see. But let me tell you what, there's a Christ that sees past the wilderness, and you see in Christ ought to look past the wilderness and see the Son of God, and see what He's done for you, and see where He can take you. See, it was a place where the enemy would attack, in the wilderness. You see, God always leads His children about through the wilderness. If you study in the book of Exodus, when they was making that great journey, trying to go over to out of Egypt into the Canaan land, it said He'd lead them about. Don't think it's strange. You may think you're running around in a circle tonight. It may be one of those days where God is trying to teach you something. You see, He would take His own Son and show us that if Jesus could go through those days, that we could make it through those days by looking at what Jesus has done. You see, it was a place where the enemy would attack. I want to say this. It started out as salvation. And I want to go ahead and say this tonight. Salvation is where you came in. You see, John chapter number 3 and verse number 7 said you must be born again. You see, this thing got started when I got saved. And it just isn't in there. I'm going to give you about six words tonight, and you'll find each person in the building, you're either there or you're not there. And the first one is salvation, where God came to you and He said, come in. Come on in this place. Secondly, it may be there tonight and you say, well, I'm trying to be separated. And He's saying, come out. You see, there ought to be a time when you get saved that you ought to be trying to be getting separated and coming out from the world. Number three, it ought to be a place of sanctification. Not only where you're coming out, but you're coming clean. You see, there's a difference in separation and sanctification. You see, separation is when you're trying to bring the world out of you. Bring you out of the world. And sanctification is when they're trying to get the world out of you. You see, there's a big difference in that. You see, you ought to live a separated life, but you ought to live a sanctified life. And if you get that far, you ought to be surrendered. Saying, come here. It's a constant yielding to the Spirit of God. Everybody in here, ever since I got saved, everybody ought to have a goal that you'd move through these steps. You ought to be saved. You ought to be separated. You ought to be sanctified. You ought to be surrendered. Not only that, you should be called into the service. You see, God's got a thing for us to do. You say, well, I ain't a preacher or no teacher. I don't know what God's got me to do. He may have you praying. And He may have your prayers reaching the throne room of heaven for a pastor down here at Liberty Baptist Church. Each time you pray, God's called us into a service saying, come here. Come do this for me. Why should you do it for Him? Let me tell you what, He went all the way to the cross for you. He gave everything that He had. He laid it all down. He laid down every portal of glory, and He gave it all for you. And He gave it all for me. And if you make it that far, you ought to be Spirit-filled. We're saying, come on over here. My dear brother preached on it Sunday night. He said this, Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. You say, why do I need to be filled with the Spirit of God? I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Why should I be Spirit-filled? I'll put it to you like this. When we was growing up, me and my brother had an old basketball, and we didn't have a nice concrete pad. We played on the grass. What used to be grass turned into red mud very quickly when you play a lot of basketball out in the summertime. And I remember this. We'd always leave our basketball outside. And it began to rain on that basketball time and time again. And then I got that basketball, and I began to bounce it, and it wouldn't bounce as high. It began to get weaker and weaker, and I'd have to bounce it harder and harder. Why? Let me tell you what, that basketball was weak in the seams. It began to turn loose. It began to turn loose of the air inside of it. Let me tell you what, in the Christian walk, if you're not careful, this world will take the air out of you. And the thing that you was once filled with the Spirit of is now leaking outside of you. And now, and maybe the Spirit's so weak inside of you, nobody can even tell it. We should live our life Spirit-filled. Why? Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you what, He was full of the Holy Ghost from His mother womb. But not only was it a place that the enemy would attack, you'll see the person that attacked, it was the Son of God. And I already said this, if the devil attacked the Son of God, don't think yourself strange when he attacks you. Let me say, tell you what, if he walked through it, you're going to have to walk through it. Not only the person of attack, but the plan of attack. And that leads me to my second point. It was one of those days where the enemy would attack, but it also be one of those days where his energy was depleted. Not only was he alone in the wilderness, you'll find in verse number 2, it said this, and in those days, he did eat nothing. He'd find himself where he could not lean on anything that he could trust in anymore. He'd have to lean on his Father. Don't think it strange, the plan of attack. On a Wednesday night, I know there's a bunch of folks in here, their energy has been depleted. They've been working in their job all week, and it'd be easy for the enemy to slide in when your energy is depleted. When everything you've been leaning on has been knocked out from under you, what are you going to do? Let me tell you what, you can go back to this passage and look to see what Jesus did. He said he did eat nothing. Everything that he had ever thought was gone. He could not lean on anything but his Father himself. He said he was here 40 days. He tempted the devil 40 days. He fasted for 40 days. And I think why would Luke write that? It was a miracle in itself that a man could go without without eating for 40 days and 40 nights, and the physician Luke would pen it down. You don't find those words in the book of Matthew, but you find it here in Luke. The old physician, he would write that down because he would think, what a miracle that was that a man himself could go that long without eating, you know, and fasting. Let me tell you what. All his physical strength was gone. Let me tell you what. Even though his physical strength was gone, his spiritual strength was not gone. You say, what can I lean on in those days when my energy is depleted? Let me tell you what he did. He leaned on the Word of God. Look down in verse number 3 here. You'll see what the devil offered him. He said, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it should be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Let me tell you what, Jesus could have, if he wanted to make that stone bread, he could have spoke to it and done it. A man like Jesus has spoke this whole world into existence. Don't think he couldn't turn a stone into bread. Don't sell him short on that. He could have. Let me tell you what, it was a greater triumph. He'd go through each step of this. Let me tell you what, it's a day where the energy would be depleted. His physical strength was gone, but his spiritual strength was still there. You know what he spent his days doing? He spent his days fasting and praying and meditating on God's Word. Paul said it like this. He said, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know what that word subjection means in that verse? It means to the act of subduing, the act of vanquishing and bringing under the dominion of another. Let me tell you what this old man that I got inside of me tonight, it loved to run out in this world. It loved to do things that's contrary to the Word of God. But I got another man on the other inside of me. And let me tell you what he's doing. He's fighting that thing that wants to run out in that world and say everything. You stay with the stuff. You stay with the Bible. You stay with your praying. You stay with your fasting. You stay with the things that's Word. You stay with the spiritual stuff. Let me tell you what you are, what you eat. I grew up eating Little Debbie's. And I tell you like Brother Josh Adams said. He said, I ate so many Little Debbie's when I grew up, I turned into Big Deborah. And I had that diet. But I wonder tonight, think about that spiritually, where you find yourself. Are you eating things from the spiritual side of this thing? Are you eating things down at the house of God? Are you eating things when your pastor's preaching to you, when the Sunday school teacher's teaching to you, when you go home at night? Are you prayed up? Are you studying up? Are you doing things outside of the house of God that's amounting to things that are eternal? You say, this thing down here is only temporal. But let me tell you where we're going. We're going to an eternal world. You see, when Jesus saved me, he gave me eternal life. And that's life that lasts forever. Do things that matter eternal, not just temporal. Not only would you see it was one of those days where the enemy would attack and the energy would be depleted, but I want to say the entanglements would get harder. It was one of those days where the devil would not stop. You see, a lot of times in us, the devil may come to us one time and tempt us with something, and we may give in, or we may say, no, devil, and he'll leave us alone. Let me tell you what, when you're the Son of God and he's trying to make you fall because he knows what his destiny is death and hell, he'd do anything to make the Son of God fall. You see, the entanglements are going to get harder. You see, and I've noticed this as I've grown up in the Lord and growing things spiritually. The things that the devil used to tempt me with when I first got saved is not the same things he tempts me with tonight. And let me tell you what they do, they get harder. Harder to turn away from them. And I wonder tonight, would you be able to turn away from them? Would you be able to say, I'm in the Word of God, and be able to turn away from them and do what the Word of God says, because the Word of God says it? The entanglements will get harder. You see here in the Bible, you'll find three temptations that the devil would come and try to tempt even Jesus himself with. Here he said, if you turn these stones into bread, you know, and Jesus said, I ain't turning those stones. He said, you should live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You see, in that, it would be the provisions of life. Not only will you see the provisions Jesus could have did, you'll see the power. Verse number 5, it says, and the devil, taking him up in a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And here it is, and the devil said unto him, all this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, and shall be all shall be thine. Jesus said this, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." All the power in the world Jesus could have taken. Let me say this. I want to go on record saying this. How could the devil give it to Jesus when Jesus had it to start with? Think about that. Jesus already had all the power. He didn't have to prove himself there. You see, every time the devil wants to come to us, you know what the first thing we'll want to do is to prove ourselves. God ain't never asked us to prove ourselves. You know what he's asked us to do? Is to prove him. You see, if you'll prove him, you'll always come out on top. All this stuff, all this power the devil had promised Jesus, Jesus already had all that power. And he said, "Hey, I don't have to even worry about that. All the power I have." He said, "Don't even tempt me with that, Satan." He said, "Get thou behind me, Satan." Not only that, you'll see this. You'll see all the prestige in verse number 9. He said he brought him up to Jerusalem. Now, we all know what Jerusalem is, don't we? Well, on a Wednesday night, Jerusalem is the capital of this thing. Every spiritual thing originated in Jerusalem. Where's the spiritual capital of the world tonight? I'll tell you where it's at. It's not here in the United States, but it's over in Jerusalem, in Israel. And just think about this. The devil would have taken Jesus up into the pinnacle of the temple there in Jerusalem, and Jesus could have proved himself, couldn't he? No doubt the Bible said he could have gave his angels charge over them, lest he dash thy foot against a stone. You say, why would that be so significant? Why would it be significant for Jesus himself to jump off the temple, the pinnacle of the temple? That's the highest part of the temple there in Jerusalem. No doubt every spiritual person that was there in Jerusalem could have watched him, and he could have proved himself. You say, why would that be so significant? Let me tell you what. The Son of God was come here to shed his blood, but he was not come here to shed his blood prematurely. You see, his blood was there to be shed on the cross. You see, Jesus could have proved himself there, and he said even the angels itself could have bear them. He could have called all of heaven's angels to not make him fall there and shed his blood. Let me tell you what. You say, why is that significant? Because in Jesus' blood was whose blood? It was God's blood. See, in Jesus' blood, he didn't have any pollution from the sin that's in the world. You see, our blood, we got our bloodline from Adam, who sinned in the garden. And from that point, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not only that, wherefore is by one man sinned into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. You see, well, I'm a sinner tonight because of my father Adam. He sinned in the garden, and it's been passed down, and my blood's been tainted year after year because of that fall in the garden that day. Let me tell you what, this man's blood, there was no sin in him. You see, he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He had no sin. There was no point of sin in his life. It was a day that the entanglements will get harder. You say, well, how am I going to, in one of those days, how am I going to fight these entanglements of this world that's going to come against me? Let me tell you how Jesus did it. He did it by the Word of God. You see, there'd be temptations, but let me say what Jesus said. He said, even though there'd be temptations, we could have triumphs through our temptations. You say, why? If you'll notice what Jesus did, he made reference back, each passage of Scripture that he made reference back to the Old Testament here. There in verse number 4, he said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." You'll find that same passage in Deuteronomy chapter number 8 and verse number 3. And then in verse number 8, you said, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." You'll find that reference over in Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 13. And then you say, what happened in verse number 12? He said, it said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You'll find another reference there in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6 and verse number 16. You see, Jesus would defeat the devil by using the Word of God. Ever since the fall there in the garden where the devil twisted the Word of God, you say, why would the NIV Bible, why would the NKJV Bible enter in our churches? The devil is attack against the Word of God. He don't like this book. You see, this book, there's no error in this book. Let me tell you, this book's full of truth. The King James Version, 1611. Let me tell you what, we got a book that's got powerful book. Let me tell you what, if you're not reading it tonight, you're depriving yourself. Because God has given us a book, and he's given us instructions on how we should live our life. We have a book that's filled with the power of God to triumph over our temptations. Paul said it this way. Turn into 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 12. I won't turn many places tonight, but I will turn here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." And he says this, "There is no temptation that has taken you, but such as what? It's common." You know what that word common means? It means universal. It means if I struggle with it, you're probably going to struggle with it. Don't think some kind of temptation has come over you. This is the first time it's ever happened. There's been many of us that struggled with temptation long before we even got here on this earth. And it's in the Bible, that's why I wanted you to turn here. It's common. It's universal. To everybody, every being, everybody that'll breathe. And it says this, common to man, but God is what? He's faithful. Let me tell you what, when you're going through a temptation, let me tell you who's there. He ain't left you alone in it, but He's faithful. How many of you tonight believe God is faithful? I believe He's there. He's faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Let me tell you what that word bear means. That word bear, we ain't going to like this term. It means to undergo hardship. See, we all think it's all good until we have to go through something hard. Let me tell you what, Jesus had to go through some hard things too. You know why? The Bible said they'd be able to succor us. That word means He could help us out. Everything that we've walked through, let me tell you what, the Savior Himself has already walked through it. The Bible said He was tempted like every man, yet without sin. The entanglements are getting harder. And I want to close with this. Not only you'll see it was one of those days where the enemy would attack, it was one of those days where all of his energy would be depleted. It was all one of those days where all of the entanglements would get harder. But lastly, it'd be one of those days where the ending would not compare. Look back in our text in Luke chapter number 4. Look what it says. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. I remember that book, that verse over in James, it says this. It says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But there's a verse in front of that we always must take into account. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. If you're not submitting to God, you'll never be able to resist the devil. You see, Jesus was submissive. Whatever the Father wanted, that's what He did. How was Jesus able to defeat the temptations of the devil? Let me tell you what He did. He submitted Himself to the Father. Every day of his life, he got up and said, Father, what do you want me to do? He didn't say, I'm on my own. I'm going to do it my way. He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Let me tell you what, the end would not compare. And I started looking at Paul and Paul's life and what Paul went through in his life. And I want you to turn one last place and we'll be done. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 6. I want to read you just a few verses about Paul and some of the things he went through. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 6. We'll begin reading. But I want you to know this. I wrote this down. I said, the children of God was the greatest prize that he could ever win. And the greatest prize and price cost him his life. You see, why wouldn't Jesus give in to the devil? Because he'd know there would be a church come along behind him. And that would love him. And he would love them. And he wouldn't give up the church for the world. The greatest prize. Paul said it this way. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 6. He said this, for God who commands light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. Give the light of knowing the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency and the power of God may be of God and not of us. Here it is. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Look what he said in verse 15. For all these things are for your sakes, and abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For this cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And here it is. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding weight, exceeding an eternal weight of glory. I'm interested in that term right there, light affliction. And I began to look at Paul's life. I began to study about things that Paul had went through in his life. I remember in Acts chapter number 27, a storm had got up on the sea on his third missionary trip. You know what he did? He got cast out in the sea. Paul, when you were shipwrecking out in the sea, he said this, light affliction. When they stoned him down in Iconium, in Acts chapter number 14, Paul said, light affliction. You know where I'm going with this. Then, when he was beaten and thrown in jail in Acts chapter number 16 at the Philippi, you know what he said? Light affliction. Then under the hand of Nero, he's persecuted. They sent for him to Paul, knowing he's going to die, be martyred for the cause of Christ. You know what he said? Light affliction. You may be here tonight going through whatever the worst trial of your life, and it may be one of those days in your life tonight. Let me tell you what, it's light affliction. You say, why? Look what it said in verse number 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Let me tell you what, it ain't going to last forever. You see, we got the wrong concept of time. I've been up here tonight for about 30 minutes. Not very long when you think about eternal things. He said, it is but for a moment. He said, light affliction. He said, why? He said, it worketh for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which we are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That light affliction, you know what it's doing inside of you tonight? It's working a far more weight of glory over there. You see, it wouldn't be heaven down here. You can't have heaven down here and have heaven over there. Let me tell you what it's doing. That light affliction that we face in those days. The Son of God defeating the devil. You know what it did? It gave me hope. And everything that I'd walked through from here on out, you know what I could say? I'd be like Paul. Look back on Paul. He said, light affliction. Those things that we don't want to go through, those things that we don't want to face, light affliction. You see, one of those days, you see, we've all had one of those days where things didn't go our way. And we know the enemy would come in and he'd target us. And then we'd look back and we'd say, all our energy's gone. How are we going to even do it? Light affliction. And then we'd know the attainment, so the world would get harder. And the devil would come and tempt us on every side to see if we'd give in. We'd go to his enticements. Paul said, be not ignorant of his devices. Light affliction. How could we do it? We could do it through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's working a far more eternal weight and exceeding weight of glory inside of you that you could give Him glory over there. You know what people are doing? They're looking at you and your light affliction to see how you'll respond. People are looking for somebody who's real tonight. They're looking for people who will get down in the ditch and dig them out and say, I went through that. I've been through that. I've done that. Those same things that are common. Those temptations are common to you. I've been through those temptations. And they're common to you. They're common to me. You know what? They're light affliction tonight. Thank y'all for your attention tonight.